You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. Thanks for tuning in this week. Over the last 10 days, the Bears have had their rookie minicamp, they've cut some kickers, they traded for a kicker, they signed a new linebacker, and that's about it. I'm Russell DeWitt, and today I'm joined by my partners in crime, Nicholas Moriano and Brandon Hazlett, and without any true news to discuss, we wanted to take a week to revive our audio mailbag, and we're glad we did because you all supplied us with some fantastic questions. But before we get and dive into that mailbag, I just want to share a quick programming note. Starting next week, we're going to begin our annual Countdown to Camp Summer Series, and this is where we break down one position a week, priming you on what to expect from and what to watch out for each in training camp. Last year, we started with the defense, so this year, we will begin by breaking down the Bears' offense. We're really unsure as of right now what position we're going to tackle first, but keep on the lookout for that next week. And of course, if any news occurs, we'll ensure to take some time to discuss that throughout the summer as well. But okay, I think I said enough. Brandon, Nick, are you guys ready to rock and roll and answer some fan questions?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, well, the first question comes from Joey, and here it is.
Hey, guys, it's Joey. I have a two-part question, if that's all right. My first question is, do you think that Trubisky has earned the right to be the franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears? And my second question, also about Trubisky, is do you think he has the potential to be the MVP this coming season? Not just on the Bears, but for the whole league. Thanks, guys.
Wow. Two great questions about Mitchell Trubisky entering his third year. Number one, and let's address this first one first. Do we believe that he has earned the right to be the franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears? And Nick, I'm going to go ahead and hand it to you for this one first.
Yeah, I think with that question, has he earned the right? Absolutely. Remember, he sat his first four games starting his NFL career behind Mike Glennon, had to really earn himself that spot. And ever since then, the Bears have been in a better place since Mitch Trubisky has taken over. And look, last year, being in a new offense, I think he played well under Matt Nagy. The Bears went 12-4, made it to the playoffs. Does he need to still learn? Absolutely. But he has done nothing to discredit him from being the franchise guy. He leads by example, and his teammates really reflect that. So I think in terms, has he earned the right? Absolutely. Mitch Trubisky is here to stay. You know, it does help when you are the second overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft. The Bears believe in him. I think Chicago believes in him. His teammates believe in him. So he definitely has the right to be the franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
I like the word that you use to describe your confidence being absolutely, because of my notes here for this question. I just have one word, and it literally is absolutely. Like, he has. He talked about all the confidence that fans have, the organization has, and I believe this question probably stems from, like, the, not rumors, but maybe, like, the chatter that Trubisky's going to get that extension as soon as he possibly can, given the rules with a rookie contract in that situation. So if Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are really willing to extend him so soon, then just imagine where their confidence level is in Mitch for not just right now, but what he can be in the immediate and long-term future for this franchise. And of course, he still has room to grow. I mean, you can look out around the league outside of just a few quarterbacks. You can say each and every starter has room to grow one way or another. So for me, when you're looking at Trubisky last year, I can't recall one game where he cost us the game. I remember countless times where he brought us in a position to win a game, and some of his teammates would let him down, whether it be Jordan Howard fumbling at the goal line versus Miami, Cody Parkey missing that overtime kick in Miami, and of course, we know about what happened in the wild card game. So for me, Mitch did what he could do in terms of putting us in a position to win, not losing games by himself. And I can think about our last franchise quarterback, Jay Cutler. I can think of a few games in which he lost us, and I can't really think of the same for Mitchell Trubisky. So for all those reasons, and Nick, you said it best. Absolutely. He has proven to be the franchise guy. B, are you going to play devil's advocate here? Because if so, I'm just going to mute you.
I sort of thought about it, but you can't really play devil's advocate with this question because he has earned it. And you could say, you know, well, he didn't sit behind a veteran guy and learn. But when you're drafting number two overall, you're kind of given the keys to the car and told not to crash it. And he's sort of done that. But you could say he also technically sat a year in John Fox's offense, which was so stagnant, more run heavy. So he's really just taking that year to get adapted to the NFL, used to the speed of the game, things of that nature, and did a really good job of learning Matt Nagy's offense fast. And we've seen how much he progressed from week one all the way to the end of the year in that playoff game. He just improved so much. It's hard to say that he hasn't earned it in 2 years. I'd like to think, you know, being Mr. Patient, you need a couple more years to earn that kind of stuff, you know, but I think that he's definitely put in his time and he's still got a lot more to learn. Like you guys were saying, there's so much more to the offense because it takes a few years to learn Matt Nagy's system. But he's just overall posed, always says the right things, always keeps his head in the game, is always a positive leader. And that's something that you look for, especially in your franchise quarterback. So he does all the right things. And I could definitely say that I think he's earned this one.
All right. So we're all in agreement here. Now let's take it to the next level. MVP, not just of the Bears, but the entire NFL. And I'll begin this one because honestly, I don't think it's entirely off base because I can envision a world where he could end up being the MVP. I mean, do I really foresee that being the case? No, but obviously we would all like to be proved wrong there. But if he obviously if he wants to be the MVP or would become the MVP, that would require a flawless year from him. And honestly, even if it doesn't happen next season, if he can take another huge step forward in year three and proves that he's continuing to develop, refine his game, master the system, gee, year four, year five, I mean, it's with all this offensive like talent that's starting to surround him, it's a possibility. And obviously, the competition in the league is very serious. He was outside the top 10 in quarterbacks last year, but if everything clicks, again, maybe he doesn't become an MVP, but maybe this year the goal should be to be considered as a top 10, maybe a top five sort of guy. And I think, at least to me, that would be pretty acceptable as well. So MVP, is it likely? No. Is it really something to strive for? No. I mean, I don't think his season is not going to determine on that by, you know, whatsoever. But can it happen? Technically, yeah. I mean, it could. He can blow up this year. He's shown the poise. He's shown the potential. If everything clicks, it's possible. Not real likely, but possible. What about you, Nick?
I think saying Mitch Trubisky, MVP 2019, I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I don't see him putting up Mahomes-like numbers, throwing 50 touchdowns. Not a lot of guys do that. The second most touchdowns last year was Andrew Luck with 39. So you see the huge jump he would even have to make statistically just in touchdowns to even get to where Mahomes was. And not to say that you have to get 50 touchdowns each year to be the MVP. That's not accurate. But I just don't see Mitch putting up those kinds of numbers. Do I expect him to definitely progress in year two of Matt Nagy's system? Absolutely. But a Bears quarterback as an MVP, that just doesn't sound right, to be completely honest. Only one Bears player has won the MVP since the award was given out since 1975, and that's Walter Payton, arguably one of the greatest players to ever play the game, obviously the best running back. So to say Mitch Trubisky is going to be the MVP, I don't know. Definitely not next year. For me, it would be a great goal to strive for, to always want to get better each and every season. And like I said, he'll get better. I just don't see an MVP, though.
Right. Yeah. What about you, B?
I'll play a little devil's advocate here. I'm not even sure that he will be MVP of the Bears in 2019 because Khalil Mack's a pretty darn good player. So I think that it's a little bit of a stretch to say he'd even be MVP of the Bears, but I think, Will, you hit it pretty much right on. If he could strive to be a top 10 quarterback in the league, then I'd say that that's right about an expectation or a realistic goal that he could set for himself this year. So I don't necessarily see him being MVP of the Bears or the league. I think, you know, Tom Brady and Drew Brees and some of the other guys kind of have to move on before we can throw Trubisky in that discussion. Needs a little bit more time to season. But I think that Khalil Mack will be more of the MVP of the Bears, and Trubisky's still looking out.
Well, hey, guys.
The thing is, we don't need him to be the MVP, though. Not this team that the Bears have. It's a good Bears team. He just needs to be Well, obviously he needs to get better, but he doesn't need to be that player in order for the Bears to win a championship. That's not the key right now. Other teams need their quarterbacks to be their best player. The Bears, solid team. This is one of the better rosters in the whole entire NFL. You don't need an MVP quarterback.
And boy, that's a good feeling to have.
Yes, it is.
But hey, anything is possible. He can blow expectations out of the water. And again, the likelihood is very slim. But the fact remains, it could happen, which I like to question. I like the optimism there. All right, let's move on to our second question. And this one comes from Isaac.
Hey, this is Isaac Siegel up here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Great fan of the show. And just calling to ask you guys what you guys think that I guess this question is for Nicholas, maybe, Mariano, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But if what Mitch Trubisky needs to do in order to show that he is performing well by himself and not just performing well because of the system, what are the specific kind of things that you need to look for in order to see that he's making the development as a quarterback and not just development in a system? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Isaac, for the great question. And Nick, I was going to start with you, but he said it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So you guys take it.
He addressed you, and I have some answers, but I want to see what you have first. So go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple things that I'll be looking for from Mitch Trubisky now going into year three of his NFL career to show that he's actually developed as a quarterback and it's not a product of just a system. It's just how he reads the field. Look, people are going to be open in this offense, but Trubisky needs to still be able to diagnose and evaluate the defense and determine where he should go. So obviously he's going to have reads 1, 2, and 3, but maybe a particular defense takes away that first read. It's still up to Trubisky to take the mental notes, know what a defense is throwing at him, and make the right decision. So that's just one thing I'll be looking for from Trubisky. And then another thing, comfortability in the pocket. We saw sometimes rookie year and in year two, he would maybe run or escape the pocket a little early and where he could have maybe stepped up and delivered a strike. So I want to see him continue, and we saw some good things last year, to look comfortable in the pocket. Then the last thing for me to show that he's actually developing as a quarterback is just working on those mechanics with him being comfortable, or if he's in distress with the pressure coming at him, just work on the mechanics. There were times where he would have a stiff leg as he's throwing. That's going to throw a ball off, whether it's high or low or just inaccurate in general. So I want to see him be able to work on those mechanics throughout the process of a play, whether or not he's being rushed or if he just has a clean pocket, be able to deliver an accurate throw, you know, keep the offense on the field. So those are just three things in particular I'm going to be looking for, just to show that Mitch Trubisky has developed from that rookie season where we know with John Fox, it wasn't as you wouldn't see as much. But to year three, we're going to see this growth as a quarterback.
The fact that I've heard John Fox's name twice in this show and we're over a year removed, guys, I swear. It's a whole different world now. Let's live in it. But no, for real, Nick, good stuff there on Mitch. I have a few things that I think complement yours pretty well. Number one, I like to see Mitch have a better understanding of what the defense is doing pre-snap, making the adjustments at the line, and turn those into successes. And of course, like you mentioned, going through those reads, finding the right receiver with a little bit more relative ease. It seemed like last year when reads 1 and 2 went away, he did have a hard time going further down his progression. And I want to say that is going to be part of him mastering the system as well, but it doesn't really take away that he is also progressing as a quarterback. Secondly, ball placement, getting guys in a better position to gain more yards after the catch and better placement on some anticipation throws. And I think we can all agree that Mitch, one area of his game that we know he needs to address, or I would say refine, is going to be his deep ball accuracy. We saw it in the camp last year. It's not money all the time. I think he got better as the season went along, though. But better deep ball accuracy overall. And then, like you mentioned, Nick, better decision making. And I think you can have that for every quarterback in the league. But just seeing some of those things, to me, would prove that he is on the correct trajectory, which, again, I really do anticipate to see all three of these by next season or throughout next season. What about you, B? Anything else that you can add to this fire?
I first of all, I had a hard time answering this question because a quarterback is really, I think, a product of a system. So granted, the smarter you are, the better of a quarterback you're going to be, the better leader that you are because you're confident, you're out there, you know what you're doing. So that's something that I really want to see him continue to improve on is his football IQ. Like you said, knowing where his guys are going to be, and it helps too having guys that are playmakers running clean, efficient routes, being able to burn guys before they even get the ball. So a lot of that, I think, it's hard to judge a quarterback based when guys can get themselves open, and then the system helps on top of that. So I really want to see Mitch continue to improve his football IQ, his leadership, and the deep ball actually is one thing that he absolutely can't control, Will, that you touched on as well. So I won't drag that one on too much, but a lot of it, you know, just mechanics, things that he can control, being a leader, taking control of the huddle, things he does very well already, but just needs to continue to improve on that. And, you know, the one thing you always hear with the greats, with, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, is how much time they spent in the film room studying their opponent. Once we start hearing those stories about Mitch, how much time he's putting into committing himself to studying the opponent, studying his offense, things of that nature, then he'll really start to come around and we can say that he's taken that next step.
And the good news is I think we've heard some of these stories already about Mitch, right, which is a testament to his work ethic, his character, and what kind of leader he is, which, again, it's, even though I would say he's a very strong leader right now, don't be stagnant. Try to get better at it. And I think he is, and I think he will. All right, guys, moving on to the next question. This one comes from Devon.
Hey, guys, my name is Devon. Huge fan of the show. Just had a quick question for you. So with Mitchell Trubisky throwing, I know he threw about 20, I believe he threw 24 touchdowns, had 12 interceptions last year. With that said, my question to you guys is, how much of a leap do you think that Mitchell Trubisky can actually take this year? I know we need him to step up a whole lot. Is it realistic to ask for, you know, maybe 10 more touchdowns, maybe 5 less interceptions? but if you can answer that for me, really appreciate it. Thank you much, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, so far it is the Mitchell Trubisky show on the audio mailbag, but I promise we have some other topics coming our way here. But this is a good question, and I do believe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here because we do tend to kind of keep these projections for our Countdown to Camp shows. But I think we should at least entertain Devon here. And Nick, I'd be curious for you to kind of kick this one off because I don't know why. I just feel like you would be a good guy to do it.
All right, so 10 more touchdowns. So if Mitch Trubisky would add 10 more touchdowns to his previous total of 24, obviously he'd be at 34 touchdowns. That would be tied for fifth last year with Ben Roethlisberger. You know what? I don't know if that is maybe where I project Mitch Trubisky. I was thinking more so he was tied for 14th in the league with those 24 touchdowns, okay? I'm thinking, can Mitch Trubisky get into the top 10 with passing touchdowns? So all he would have to do, the 10th most touchdowns thrown last year was from Tom Brady with 29. So, obviously, that's 5 away from Trubisky. Remember, he also missed 2 games last season. So, if you were to factor that into the equation, I think that's more of a realistic kind of position for Mitch to maybe be around that top 10 in passing touchdowns, as opposed to throwing 10 more from his previous 24 total, 5th most touchdowns in the league. I know I expect Mitch Trubisky, and a lot of us do, to have a really a jump this season as opposed to last season. But I don't know about 5th most in the league. And obviously, numbers will change from year to year. But I think if he can get into the top 10 for touchdown passes, that's great for Mitch Trubisky. There's progress being made, tied for 14th, jumping up 4 spots to get number 10, maybe even better than that. But I think that's more of a realistic maybe approach for the touchdowns than interceptions. Throwing, what was it, 7 less or 5 less? Sorry, that would put him at 7. So he would have been tied with 5 quarterbacks for last year. And here are the guys: Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Nathan Peterman's on this list too. Had he played more games, he wouldn't have 7, that's for sure. And then CJ Beathard, go Hawks. But I think that if he were to do something like that, throw 7, that would be a great number to have. But as long as you can get that double digits interception to single digits, I'm fine with that. Aaron Rodgers threw 2. That was the least out of among starting quarterbacks. That's kind of a hard number to get to, especially being an established veteran quarterback in the league. But if he can just take that number to single digits, I'm fine with Mitch Trubisky and his interception total for next year being, obviously, if he can go lower, that's great. But if he can get it out of the double digits for interceptions, that'd be a good goal for him to have for 2019.
Now, when I'm looking at this, and I did some very similar research here, but something that really caught my eye about Mitch is his touchdown percentage of his throws, and it more than doubled from year one to year two. It was actually just shy of tripling. Now, obviously, that's a trend that's never going to be sustained in the NFL. He's not going to be able to throw touchdowns in over, like, 12% of his throws. It's just not going to happen unless he rarely throws, which is, then we have some bigger problems on our hands. But when I'm looking at the 10 more touchdowns per year, it's not unrealistic, because how many times last year did the Bears stall as soon as they crossed the 50? There's so many missed opportunities last year that I think we can all agree they're a play or two short from sustaining that drive, marching down, and then once you get down to the red zone, anything can happen. So for me, 10 more touchdowns, not going to be my expectation, but it's something that can definitely happen if the Bears' offense, which I believe it will be, especially with adding more dynamic players to it, especially like a running back in David Montgomery, is going to be more efficient and be able to capitalize and convert more points compared to what they did a year ago. And then for touchdowns, you're talking about it, Nick. Getting down to the single digits would be great. And instead of looking at actual numbers for me, because it does matter based off of attempts, you talk about games like Peterman's on that list, and he didn't even play that many games. Last year, Mitchell Trubisky's interception percent was 2.8, meaning he was throwing an interception on 2.8% of his throws. The Aaron Rodgers thing you mentioned, I think it was like 0.1%. Phenomenal. I mean, it's going to be very hard for anyone to replicate that. But for me, for Mitch, I like to see that number drop down to or below about 2% overall. That gets him in the top half of the league because he was 23rd last year in percent. That would get him about 14th, and I think that would be a success. And again, if he's adding at least 5 to 7+ more touchdowns a year and coupling that by dropping below 2% with his interceptions, that's a fantastic year for Mitchell Trubisky. So for me, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I know, Brandon, you were a little on your number research before coming into this. Anything you want to add here, or do you want to move on to the next question?
Yeah, I want to add, I think that Nick's point about getting to 30 touchdowns would be about right, because one thing you got to keep in mind from last year, even with Mitch missing two games, I'm kind of taking out the outlier game against Tampa Bay where he threw for 6. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, that happens once a season, apparently. You know, and there's other quarterbacks that don't even do it. So you take away a couple of those and put it with the rest of the average touchdowns that he throws, you know, between, I'll say, 2 roughly a game, just kind of roughly looking at a stat list, that puts you at about 32. So I think if he averages 2 touchdowns a game, you know, that gets you 32 for the year. So I think 30 sounds about right. And then also, again, with the single interceptions, single-digit interceptions for the year sounds just about right as well. The issue with that is, though, is with – Will, you talked about adding like a David Montgomery, adding like a Riley Ridley to this offense, to be able to fill the fourth wide receiver spot, more dynamic players. We can tell that this offense is going to be more pass heavy. So with more attempts, adds to the probability of him throwing more interceptions. And I don't think he's going to exceed 12 interceptions this year. I think that he's going to, you know, like I said earlier, he's going to grow, be a better leader, be able to pick up his progressions, learn defenses a little bit better still, and he'll be able to find his guys in the offense and be able to get guys open. So I don't see him exceeding 12, but the probability of him throwing more interceptions goes up with it being a more pass-happy offense. So I'm going to hover around 12 interceptions still.
All right. I still think interception percent is a big number to look at there compared to just overall interceptions. Just want to say it one more time before we move on. All right, so we aren't even halfway done yet. I know there's a lot of Mitch talk to kind of start off this show, but we have plenty more topics to get to. But before we get to those, I need to call a quick timeout to tell you a little bit about our show sponsor, SeatGeek. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make it getting to the actual event difficult on purpose? It's easy. It's like they're so big that they don't even care about the customer experience. And with millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. In an industry that tends to get stagnant, SeatGeek decides to stand out from the crowd. And why is SeatGeek better than the rest? Well, a quick look at the App Store shows that over 50,000 five-star reviews. And how's that for customer satisfaction? But SeatGeek in general, it's a better process. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then SeatGeek rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. And finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. And the best part of all is that all of us here, well, maybe this isn't the best part, but a good part about it is we all do use the SeatGeek app here at the Chicago Audible. We've had it for years, and I really love how you can sort by value, set your budget, so you can really look at the best tickets for the price that you're willing to pay. It's by far the easiest and fastest way that we've been able to find tickets. And in fact, I was looking at the app right before it went live for the Chicago Bears versus the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the game that we've all decided that we're going to be going to for our annual meetup and, of course, our annual Bears game at Soldier Field. Nick does like to slide in a few extra ones from time to time on us, but that's okay. That's besides the fact. But we're going to go see the Bears versus the Chiefs. We'd love for you to go there as well. And again, if you can't go to that one, check out all the Bears games from preseason, the away games, all the home games as well. I think I saw for the Chiefs games, the earliest tickets were starting about $150, which is a pretty good deal. Sunday Night Football, December 22nd, Soldier Field, Bears Chiefs. Doesn't get much better than that. Hopefully you can join us there. And the best part of all is that SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And all you need to do is use our promo code. So download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code BEARS for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Alrighty, you're listening to the Chicago Audible podcast. We are sitting here going through our first audio mailbag of the offseason. We just had three, four, five questions on Mitchell Trubisky, depending on the two-parters that people are asking, and it's time to move on. And this next question comes from Brandon, and no, not my co-host.
Hi, my name is Brandon Viotto. I listen to you guys a lot. I like what you guys do, but I have two questions. So my first question is, David Montgomery, do you think he's going to have a starting role right away, or do you think he's going to kind of just ride along and then slowly get started, kind of like, and get his opportunities like Kareem Hunt did for injuries or whatnot? And then my second question is, do you think Riley Ridley is going to take a roster spot and make Javon Wims go back on the practice squad or whatnot? Thanks.
Good questions there from Brandon. Apparently it sounded like from a racetrack, if I can hear the background correctly. So both on our rookies here, actually our first two picks, Montgomery and Ridley. So Brandon, going over to you, David Montgomery, do you see him kind of being the starting back right away? How do you kind of approach this?
Well, I'm taking Tariq Cohen out of the option to be a starter because he's such a wild card. We've seen him line up in multiple different positions, so I'm not really counting him as a potential starter. So that really leaves David Montgomery and Mike Davis. And I think that the edge ultimately is going to come down to David Montgomery. Just the way that he plays, he's just so slippery. He's broken so many tackles. You guys have watched all the tape already. Just an explosive player, a playmaker guy that I think is needed for this Matt Nagy offense coming out of the backfield. Jordan Howard was that banger between the tackles. Here's Montgomery now, who is a little more slippery and knows where his holes are supposed to be and where the secondary one's at. And we see that with his vision when you watch the tape. He's very quick to be able to change directions, and I think that that's something that's going to play very well in his hand when it comes time to coming down for that starting role. I think that David Montgomery having that ability to see the extra hole, make those moves over a Mike Davis who's quick but is also more between the tackles guy. I think Montgomery being more of that explosive playmaker plays a lot more in his hand.
All right. For me, I mean, I put Cohen in here as well. Last year, he averaged 6.2 carries per game. Looking at Davis, he averaged 7.5 carries a game. And obviously, the initial thought that Davis would have a bigger kind of role in this offense before, of course, we drafted Montgomery. I think it's going to be maybe a closer split out of the gate. But I do expect, honestly, week one, I don't know if the Bears are going to have a quote-unquote starting running back, depending on how they want to utilize them. But if you're looking who's going to be taking the bulk of the carries, I think it's going to be easily Montgomery. Yeah, I don't think there's really too much debate here. Nick, do you think there is?
I don't think so. I could put my money on when the first snap of the game comes against Green Bay under the lights. It's going to be Montgomery in the backfield. But Brandon did make a good point. Brandon, the one who asked the question. You always make great points, though, Brandon. Spencer Ware got injured last season. That's why, or two seasons ago, and that's why Kareem Hunt was able to get his start and able to get his role. He also mentioned in the question, kind of get the role of solely. So Kareem Hunt, I looked at his first couple of games in the league just to see how Matt Nagy was using him. He started off the season with 17 rushing attempts, 13 rushing attempts, and then 17. So back-to-back games. And he went over 100 yards in two of those games. So, I mean, I think obviously what now three going to be 3 years removed from that. But I still see David Montgomery being the focal point of the Bears running back situation in the backfield. You're going to see a lot of guys in and out there. You can also throw Cordarrelle Patterson in there at times. So there's going to be a lot of guys there. But Matt Nagy finally has the running back that he's envisioned, that he wants in this offense. So it's going to complete it. And you got to bet that he's going to want to put him out there as much as possible. Both him and Mike Davis are learning the offense at the same time. So that gives the advantage to whoever just shows up better in camp. And we saw what David Montgomery could do. Obviously, we all like him here. He was just the perfect running back for his offense. So I just think when it comes down to camp, who's going to show up, it's going to be Montgomery. And I think he's just going to be a solidified starter right from the very beginning.
You just piggyback off the headline of your article.
I did. I have to.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on to Riley Ridley. I'll start off. I mean, first and foremost, Riley Ridley is going to make this roster. You're not going to stash a fourth-round pick on a practice squad, especially someone like Ridley, who had a round two to kind of three grade on him. Obviously, the Bears are very high on him and his ability. And again, this isn't really a knock on Javon Wims. It's just really a numbers game. And you have Robinson, Miller, Gabriel, Patterson, Ridley, and Wims. Who knows? They could keep six. And I don't think they're going to rule that out of the equation just yet. But obviously, the coaches are going to be the ones that decides what's best. But again, all my money, if I'm playing poker, all my chips are going to the center of the table that Riley Ridley is making this roster week one. No questions asked. What about you, B?
Yeah, I'm on that same boat. And unfortunately, I think Javon Wims ends up back on the practice squad. If he's eligible, I got to refresh myself on the practice squad rule. Okay. And I think part of that's because I think it's Mike Hall, the guy we got from Atlanta in free agency this year. He's going to have to be able to contribute on special teams, so they're going to make a roster spot for him too. So not that he's going to get much playing time, the guy from Atlanta. He'll get his time on special teams, but they got to make room for Riley Ridley. I agree with you guys that he's going to be able to find his way onto this roster. Just he's such a clean route runner. He's going to be able to be a huge contribution to the passing game.
Yeah, you're not stashing your second pick of the draft on the practice squad. It's just not going to happen. And yes, Marvin Hall. I don't know if we both, I heard Nick say it, but I don't know if you heard Nick mention it, but it's not a big deal whatsoever. But Nick, over to you. Any thoughts on Riley Ridley?
Yeah, he's absolutely going to make the 53-man roster. And I just went back and looked at the history since Ryan Pace has been here, how many receivers they've kept. And it's going to look a little different now because running back, there might be one more than we're usually used to seeing on a 53-man roster. But since he got here in 2015, Ryan Pace, he's had six receivers on that roster in 2015, six receivers in 2016. Five receivers in 2017. There was no one to throw to. That's why Mitch, season's in. won't mention the guy who was ahead of that season. And then 2018, six receivers. So I think that's what you're probably going to look at for this season, about six. And you know Robinson, Gabriel, Miller, Cordarrelle Patterson, Riley Ridley. And it's really going to come down to Javon Wims or Marvin Hall for that last spot. Look, Marvin Hall signed a one-year contract for $645,000. It's not a significant amount. And unless he's going to be a huge contributor on special teams, we know he's a burner. I just don't know if he's actually going to be the guy that makes it. When I see Wims, he's a bigger receiver. He can be a gunner. He can go out and make tackles. Hall's not that guy. He's a smaller type of guy. And if Cordarrelle Patterson, which he is, going to be the primary kick returner, what is Hall's role on special teams? So that's why I think when it comes down to it, whoever has a better camp, if it's Wims or Hall, is going to get that last spot for the sixth man on the wide receiving core. There's not a very big commitment to Hall. It was a one-year contract, and Cordarrelle Patterson we know is a kick returner, and there'll probably be other guys that are in there, and Hall will probably get his chances, but it's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson's job. You have to contribute elsewhere on special teams. So that's why it's going to be Wims or Hall that gets that sixth spot for the wide receiver group.
There we go. Lots of confidence in Riley Ridley, which I think is fair and very much warranted. All right, guys, moving on to our next question. It comes from Everett.
Hey, this is Everett Ivansky calling from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And my question is, why aren't the Bears pursuing Cole Tracy out of LSU? It seems like we're trying out every kicker between here and East Timbuktu, but you know, Cole seems like he's a super strong kicker, basically the second strongest in this draft class. Just wondering if you've heard anything, why aren't we giving him a shot? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, I want to just say thank you, Everett. I know that you did submit this question before he signed with the Saints this week, but I do think that it's still worth discussing for a minute in terms of why the Bears didn't bring him in, because you said it, from here to East Timbuktu, every kicker in the land has came through Chicago so far. For me, my gut, it tells me that the Bears really just thought there were better options out there. They met with Cole Tracy at the Senior Bowl. They got to know him. I know that his leg strength is average, and perhaps they are prioritizing leg strength more right now, or is there a high priority on that leg strength? Other than that, I haven't heard anything. There's no red flags. He was very productive in college. He was known to be the top one. I know he wasn't drafted, but he was either, you know, consensus one or two kicker out of this draft class. There had to be a reason. I mean, they met with him. There's some sort of reason why the Bears decided to go the other way. Unfortunately, I'm not in Ryan Pace's ear. I'm not a fly in the wall. I can't tell you the exact reasoning, but really my gut would just say they were worried about his lack of leg strength. That's just what my instincts are telling me here about Cole Tracy. Nick, Brandon, anything else you want to mention? This is a good time to talk about kickers if you want.
Go ahead, I think Brandon. That this whole kicking thing is real interesting, the way that they've handled it. And first of all, I did have a Purdue guy on the tryout team, Spencer Evans.
How'd he do?
Didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
But wow. He was there, so just had to throw that out there. But no, Will, I don't know if you remember this at all. I think this was maybe before we started the podcast. I don't remember. But the Bears brought in a left-footed punter that was better than O'Donnell.
Yeah.
We were like, why don't they? Yeah. We're like, why don't they keep him? And then they ended up cutting him. And since then, I've like had wavering confidence, and I know the special teams coordinators have changed since then and things of that nature, but I haven't been very confident in the Bears finding that special teams ace, I guess, whether it be a punter or a kicker, especially since Robbie left.
Right. Hey, B, real quick, I just want to mention, I think it was Way versus Adam Podlish that year.
Was it? Okay, I can't remember. It's been a while.
I understand.
But regardless, you know, since then, because Way was just such a solid punter. It was weird. You know, we're sitting across the field and we're watching these bombs just soar up in the air. We're like, who is that guy? You know, so since they didn't sign him, I can say that my confidence in finding a specialist punter, kicker, whatever, has wavered. So I don't really know what the Bears are at as far as their kicking scouting goes. And I know it's not easy to do. So I don't know. I was doing a flashback today, and that's what came to my mind when I seen this question.
Nick, anything you want to add? I know there is another question coming up about the new kicker as well, so if you have thoughts on him, we can pause on that. But anything on the Cole Tracy, no interest in him?
Yeah, I don't know why the Bears weren't. I mean, they had 8 kickers at camp just last weekend, so he obviously didn't make the cut. So, I don't understand why not. But I mean, they already had 8. It's like you're overdoing it at this point. If you're just trying to bring every kicker and their grandmother to camp, it's just not going to work out. Just go with your select number that you like, that you think can maybe provide competition. You single out the few and you move on. But I don't know why Cole Tracy didn't get the call to come into Bears camp and, you know, compete for that job. But it's over and done with now. The Bears have 3 kickers and we're about to talk about one of them.
All right. Very well said. Moving on to the next question, it comes from JB. We don't know, but we're going to figure it out as we go. Feel free to let us know exactly what your name is so we can give you some credit here. But either way, I think we have it correct and then incorrectly as well. But here's the question.
How's it going, Bear Bro? Oh, I almost said it. How's it going? It's JB here, and I have a quick question for you, possibly a two-parter. Jamie Cole, we hired him to be like a special teams consultant, and you know what? He's worked with some really good kickers, and he's actually worked with, I don't know how to really pronounce the name, but I think it's Pinheiro, our new kicker. He's actually worked with him, and if you've seen his
his cool video on YouTube. The guy has pinpoint accuracy. So my first question is, what's your thoughts on that? And my second question for you guys is, how do you feel about our pass rusher depth? Because I was really expecting us to grab somebody in the draft, you know, anybody, somebody on the defensive line, just so we could have behind Khalil Mack and possibly Leonard Floyd if they go down. I mean, I know we got Leonard or Aaron Lynch, excuse me, but how do you guys feel about our depth behind them? Thank you, and bear down.
B, was your mic falling over there?
Was it?
I don't know. You're jingling it during the whole thing.
Not during the whole thing. I don't think. I was trying to move it so I could type on the computer real fast. But
for shame, for shame, Nick, over to you. Brandon's in timeout.
Yeah. So about Jamie Cole, I mean, I think it's a smart move that the Bears would bring a kicking consultant because obviously they have some issues at that position and they need to bring in, you know, whatever or whoever it is to maybe solve those. But I never thought I'd be saying this. He did do his kicking at Iowa State, and all I have on Jamie Cole is that I'm hoping that, you know, these Iowa State alums, obviously everyone knows I went to Iowa, there's a flag right there, can help out this team with Jamie Cole and obviously David Montgomery. But that's all I have on Jamie Cole. As for Eddie Pinheiro, like the last name, still have to wait and see. We see all these hype, these videos of these 81-yard field goals or this strong leg. That's great. Fantastic. No one's going to be attempting an 81-yard field goal in any game at any moment ever. It's just not possible. The trajectory that you have to kick it at, really low, susceptible to a block, just not going to happen. But he did have success at Florida, which is why a lot of Bears fans, I think, are, you know, optimistic about Pinheiro maybe being the guy to just solve these issues that the Bears have had. I mean, he set a record for accuracy in two seasons at Florida, making 38 of 43 field goals. He made 29 of his last 30 field goals at Florida. Just a little extra background on why he's now on the Bears. He was placed on IR after a groin injury last season. And now the Bears obviously make that trade to bring him here for a conditional seventh round pick in 2021. And if anyone's mad about that, come on. A seventh round conditional pick in 2021. Just stop. But again, I think that Pinheiro, a guy that a lot of people have hope in, and I might as well bring this up. Kay Adams, she posted a video on Pinheiro. She did a profile on him about a year ago saying this is a guy that you might have to watch out for. Some background information. Pinheiro didn't attempt a field goal in high school. He was actually a soccer star, and he actually turned down a scholarship from Nick Saban. This guy, you know, it takes takes a lot of confidence to do that. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. But Kay Adams, she tweeted, "Hey, Chicago, meet your new kicker, the kid who said no thanks to Nick Saban." I replied, "Hopefully," and this is on Twitter, "hopefully he could be the solution to the Bears kicking woes." And she sounds confident. You bet your doinks he is. So hopefully Pinheiro is the guy that can just solve this kicking situation. But like I said, I have to wait and see. All these 81-yard field goals and these, you know, things that won't happen in a game, great. Let's see when the pressure's on, you're under the lights, can you make the kick?
Yeah, good stuff there, Nick. I mean, for me, if the new consultant worked with him in the past, Pinheiro, and obviously had a strong enough opinion to persuade the front office and the coaching staff to make this trade, how can that not excite you as a Bears fan? I know that he's not a lock, but the familiarity that he has with Cole's going to help, and all he has to do is beat the other guys at camp. So really, for me, it's one of those things where Ryan Pace says they're going to leave no stone go unturned. This is another proof of that, more evidence for it. And I just like adding in a new leg after making some cuts after minicamp, some fresh blood, keep the other guys on their toes as well. So who knows who's going to end up winning? I hope they bring all the kickers to camp. Just let's bring them all to training camp. We'll have a spectacle. It's going to be a great time to do it. But Brandon, I know that you kind of already put in your two cents on the kicking situation as a whole. And for time purposes, I think starting you with your confidence in pass rush depth would be perfect.
I'm skeptical. I mean, Aaron Lynch, we know what he can do. He was a surprise last year, which is really nice. Brings a lot of power, brings a lot of energy when he's healthy. But that being said, now we're putting a lot of weight on Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz as far as their progression goes. And Isaiah Irving, he's shown flashes in training camp and in preseason. And same with Kylie Fitz as well in the 1 year that we've seen him so far. But I think there's a lot of weight, a lot of pressure riding on those two guys. And I think that's good for them. Sometimes you need that little bit of stress to be able to elevate and bump your game up, put a little bit of pressure on. But at the same time, they've got to be able to perform when their number is called on. And granted, these are just going to be rotational guys. So they're not going to see a whole lot of the field. But my confidence level right now, like I said, it's kind of skeptical because they haven't shown us yet what they can do as far as a pass rushing standpoint. So I'm a little nervous myself.
Yeah, I'm in the concern category. I mean, we've talked about it all offseason. We've had edge as one of the bigger needs for the Bears. That is what we have. I am intrigued to see with the undrafted free agent, the edge rusher out of Canada, Matthew Betts, what he's going to bring to the table. Steve and I, we talked about his measurables and potential on that UDFA recap show. But still, he's not a guaranteed really to help the position this year. The good news is, and I'm going to say good news, but it's kind of lightly, we do have the same unit from last year, Mac, Floyd, Lynch, Irving, Fitz. The only difference is no Sam Acho, and he was hurt most of last season. So it's not like we're in terrible shape. I think we can all disagree that we thought there was going to be some better depth at the position by this point. So we just have those questions that we've been asking for about a year. I know, can Kylie Fitz make a jump? Potentially. I still have some doubts. Can Isaiah Irving do the same? Again, not overly optimistic. But obviously, I think the Bears coaching staff is. They're confident at what they have in this depth, or else I think it would have been addressed. And I think let's hope that it's enough. And again, don't rule out Ryan Pace bringing someone. Maybe they get cut from training camp or something, like a veteran cut due to a contract or due to this lack of performance. Maybe. I mean, overly, I'm concerned. But at the same time, obviously the Bears coaches have confidence, or else the Bears would have, I'd say, attacked this position just a little bit harder. Anything else you want to add, Nick?
I actually feel kind of confident in the guys that they have behind the pass rushers. Yeah. I think a big move, an underrated move, was really bringing back Aaron Lynch on that one-year deal. I really liked what he did last season. He was able to get 16 tackles, 3 sacks, an interception, and I was actually at that game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4 tackles for loss, and he started 3 games when Khalil Mack, I think it was like a mixture of both with Floyd and Mack, whoever was injured at the time. But it's encouraging that he's back, and you have young guys in Isaiah Irving, only 24 years old. Aaron Lynch is still young himself, 26, and Kylie Fitz, 24. So these guys still have room to grow. And I think the big thing here too, it's going to be a very important year for Leonard Floyd, especially since the Bears pick up that fifth year option. He's going to have to ball out, and he's hopefully, you know, knock on wood here, doesn't have any kind of injuries with his hand, because that really slowed him down in the beginning. So I think if you have these two really playing their game, and you have the other guys, the younger guys, come in on, you know, obvious passing down situations, that's going to prove exponential for them to have success. So I'm all right with the depth. I know we all expected them to bring somebody in, but I think underrated move, really, bringing back Lynch, and let's see these two young guys in Irving and Kylie Fitz continue to grow. They've shown some flashes, and then they've showed some times where, yes, you're young. You need to learn and develop from, especially the veterans that are in front of you. So I'm all right with it. Hopefully the starters stay, you know, relatively healthy for the 2019 season, but I'm all right with the depth.
Well, yeah, hopefully everything pans out exactly how you just ended that. All right, one last question, and it comes from Christian.
Hey guys, this is Christian from Indiana. I had a two-part question. The first one being, what kind of numbers do you think Mitch will have this year in order to make it seem like he has had a good season? So passing yards, touchdown to interception ratio, and then maybe rushing touchdowns. And then for my second question, I wanted to know if you guys believe that Duke Shelley will take over the nickel position. I think I would like that, and I think every Bears fan would like that, but I was wondering what you guys thought. Thank you, and bear down.
All right, well, I think we can all agree that we've answered the Mitch question. I don't think we need to rehash that one. Christian, if you did miss it by chance, check out the top of the show. It was the Mitchell Trubisky half hour there with the first questions before we broke off to the second half here of the show. So the next question, Duke Shelley, can he win the nickel position? Brandon, you're first.
I think he can. It sounded like he had a really good rookie mini camp. So I'm encouraged by those positive results that we heard about. And I was also too watching some Bears film earlier, and Anthony Miller beat Buster Skrine for a touchdown there in the back of the end zone on one of those plays. So that kind of puts into perspective where Skrine's at. I know he's more of an aggressive corner and he's going to get beat from time to time. It was kind of his knock when he was there in New York. And we seen in that Bears game, cause Anthony Miller beat him for a touchdown there, obviously. So I think that Duke Shelley's got a real chance here. It sounds like he just was on the ball really in rookie minicamp. You watch some of his tape. He's got this aggressive mentality to him. He does not take losing very well. You see it, especially I've seen a video today of him going up in a running situation against a much bigger wide receiver, and he's able to beat him and force the guy out of bounds. So he's got that will, that fight, that drive that you want in a defensive guy, and he's going to be one of those guys that's just consistently around the ball, which is something we say about the linebackers all the time, and I think Duke Shelley's just going to continue to follow that as a nickel corner, and I think that he will end up winning the job at the end of the day.
All right. Bold statement there by B. How about you, Nick? Are you going as bold as Nick? I mean, maybe you can. As bold as Brandon?
It'd be tough. It would be tough. Whatever. Buster Skrine's going to probably be the starter. When you look at it, he signed a three-year, just over $16 million contract with the Bears. I think they have him projected as a starter. And when he was a free agent in 2015, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were kind of looking into him, saying if they could possibly get him. There were talks that were happening. And then when they played him just last season, again, they had high regards. Matt Nagy did, saying he's one of the better nickel corners in the league. So there was this praise for Buster Skrine. And I know Duke Shelley, and I think we all envision him probably being a, you know, future starter, but I wouldn't say this season, wouldn't say right now, unless an injury were to happen. But I think Buster Skrine is going to be the starter week one and majority of the season if he is healthy. And I think the thing with Buster Skrine, we saw with the Jets and why he's a little grabby, will have these pass interference calls. Look at the defense that he's also playing around him. Now put him into this Bears defense where quarterbacks are not going to have as enough time to drop back and just kind of dissect the defense. You have Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks going after the QB. It's going to make Buster Skrine's job a lot easier. So at the end of the day, the contract really helps. And the Bears had a good vision of where of just Buster Skrine's game and where they wanted that to be on this defense. So he has big shoes to fill with Bryce Callahan now in Denver, but I think ultimately Buster Skrine will be the guy that starts week one and the majority of the 2019 season.
I find myself in the middle because I can see a scenario where each kind of plays out. Nick, I will agree. I think week one you're gonna see Buster Skrine be the guy, but I believe he gave up the highest pass rating in the slot last year, which, again, you talked about the surrounding defense around him wasn't good, really caused some problems for him. But if he does struggle to a similar degree, and then you see a guy, of course, like Duke Shelley, and maybe he shines in training camp, maybe he generates some buzz around him. I don't think the Bears, even though they put some money in Skrine, they're not going to be shy of taking him out and putting in Shelley, if Shelley proves that he's the better guy, or if Skrine doesn't pan out and they believe Shelley can provide that defense with a spark, a little more of an edge, maybe provide that Bryce Callahan role to a stronger degree. So for me, I'm in the middle. I'm going to say they're going to give Buster Skrine every opportunity, kind of like Mike Glennon, right? You brought him in, you gave him a shot, didn't work out. So what did you do? You go immediately to the rookie to get them started. And I think this might be a similar situation going on here between Shelley and Skrine. Just really dependent on how the veteran pans out. I think he's going to get the initial nod. And then if he can perform, great. If not, then yeah, Shelley. But I don't think Shelley's going to have the opportunity to take that away in training camp. I don't think that's
going to be crazy. And I'll say this, to back up your guys' points, and maybe Shelley does get onto the field, Ryan Pace is not afraid to throw in his draft picks to play some significant minutes. I mean, just look at the past couple seasons. Obviously, there's James Daniels, Anthony Miller, rookies who played a lot last season, Bilal Nichols. Then there's just a bunch of rookies that have been implemented and were now starters, Eddie Jackson being a fourth-round pick, Tariq Cohen. So he's done it before. If there's a rookie that is showcasing some abilities in camp and he feels confident in him, Ryan Pace, you know, Matt Nagy, that organization is going to put the right guys out there that they feel confident with. But I'll still say Buster Skrine starts week one.
I want to throw a curveball in there. I believe Michael Joseph is still on the roster. The guy from last year who played really tight coverage, really impressed, but didn't, you know, obviously wasn't quite the NFL talent ready roster type of player. What if he progresses enough that he's in that conversation?
Nah.
No.
Well, I mean, you never know with these DBs. Callahan's right. role is a significant one, and they're going to find the best guy to replace him. But I think just right now, very early on, we haven't even done countdown to camp yet. I'm going to say it's going to be Shelly and Buster Skrine that are probably going to be fighting for that nickel spot.
Spoiler alert. I had to do one.
Oh, I thought
that was, no, that was you, because you said we didn't do a countdown to camp yet, and you're already saying who's going to be starting, yeah. And you're like already making your decision.
This is true.
Hence,
I'm sorry.
The spoiler alert. All right, guys. Any final thoughts about anything that we mentioned today or anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
That was fun. Was this the first audio mailbag where you were on it, Will?
Not the first ever, but maybe the second.
I definitely don't remember that.
Thanks.
No problem.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to firstly thank everyone who submitted their question. Even if yours wasn't on today's show, make sure to keep them coming. And of course, we'd like to thank everyone who is watching live and to our thousands of podcast listeners worldwide. We'll be back next week. Like I said, countdown to camp. I love it. It feels like once we start that series, the season is here literally in the blink of an eye. But until next time, bear down, Chicago. Bear down, Chicago, bear down.